Are there any no's? That's the question that is asked, because there could be 10 people on a call. And so everyone yelling out is, you know, can get confusing. My name is Dianita Washington, and I am the executive specialist at Johns Hopkins Technology Ventures on the East Baltimore campus. I've been in this role for 6 years. As an executive specialist or as an admin professional, one of the main parts of our jobs is to schedule meetings. And because we are supporting the executive, senior leadership here at the university, these meetings can be complex, involving people from all over the university and oftentimes external to the university. And when you have all of these different busy calendars to look at, sometimes doing it via email, there's a lot of back and forth and we waste a lot of time. And so there's a different method that we can use called a scheduling call. And the admins would get on the phone to actually talk about when is a good date for this meeting. Many organizations have scheduling calls. I'd like to talk about the Hopkins way of leading a scheduling call. I learned this early on in my career here at Hopkins, and I was actually nervous the first time. However, I quickly learned what the protocols are. Usually, whoever the principal who wants to have the meeting, their admin will initiate the scheduling call, and they would contact all the admins, find the right time to meet, and then everyone gets on a call. Now, today we do regular audio calls, we do Teams calls, we do Zoom calls. But once everyone's on the line, the person who organized the call may not be the person who actually leads as far as what dates to start considering. So myself, I support the senior advisor to the president. However, when I'm on a call with the university president's admin or the School of Medicine's dean's admin, I will defer to them and allow them to quote unquote drive the discussion and start with their calendars first, because of course their calendars are much more busy and more restrictive. I had to learn that early on to do that, to just defer to whoever the most senior admin on the call. And when I say most senior, I don't mean the number of years that they've been here, but who they represent is the most senior. And that typically helps us to have a successful scheduling call. And once we go through different rounds, they might send out a date, August 23rd, 2023, at 9 a.m., they ask how many people can attend during that time. And instead of getting yeses, it's actually more productive if they say, is there anyone who cannot make it? Are there any no's? That's the question that is asked. Because there could be 10 people on a call. And so everyone yelling out is, you know, can get confusing. So once we go through some rounds of that, because usually the first three don't work out, but the further out you get in the calendar, the more options become available. And so once we agree on the date and time, then the organizer is the person who will either send out a confirmation email, or they will set up the calendar invitation and send it out. Speaking of calendar invitations, there are different thoughts on who receives calendar invitations here. There are some of our senior leadership at Garland Hall who are housed there, who work there, who the protocol is do not send a calendar invitation directly to their calendar. And so we might include their admin professional on the calendar invitation instead, or they might prefer, they just will ask for, just send me an email with all of the details and they will put it on their calendars how they want to. Over in the School of Medicine, not so much like that. And so typically what I'll do at the end of the call is say, is it okay for me to send the calendar invitation to your principal or to you or to both of you? That's important to know. Once you get off the call, then you know who should be included on the invitation. Some may be wondering, why don't we just do this over email? Well, we get a lot of email every day. We get just an enormous amount of email that comes into our inbox. And to go back and forth, if someone doesn't answer right away, maybe they're in a meeting, they've stepped away, or maybe they're off work that day. And so we're waiting a whole nother 24 hours, could be 48 hours of this back and forth. And by the time they've responded, I've gone on and done 30 other things and forgot about it. Sometimes we just kind of lose track. Oh, did we ever finish scheduling that meeting? You look up, a week has gone by and you haven't actually scheduled it. Therefore, I would say if there's four or more people involved, do a scheduling call. If it's two or three people and you can keep a track of them on email, fine. And you learn over time what others, their response times are. Some people are more responsive than others. And so, you know, you can quickly get it done. Now at Hopkins, we use a lot of Microsoft Teams. And so it's kind of like a side chat tool. And sometimes we can get scheduling done on that platform, which is has been helpful. And then there are other polling scheduling software that's available, the Doodle Poll and some of the others. I've recently discovered Calendly has a polling software, which is great. I like using those, particularly when we're scheduling a meeting that may have some faculty or might have some external folks who don't have an admin professional. They are usually not available to be on a scheduling call. And so the polling software comes in handy when you want to present, three to five different dates or time slots that you want to offer and then give them a time frame to respond. Polling software can also be used when you have extra time to schedule it. If it's something more urgent, I would suggest getting on a scheduling call. You can get the date and time nailed down quickly. Using a polling software has its benefits. Definitely can represent those who don't have an admin professional and they can answer when they're available to do it. And then you gather all of the responses and confirm a date and time that works for everyone or works for most. The role of the scheduling call leader or organizer, they need to know certain information prior to the meeting in order for it to be a successful one. Number one, they need to know everyone who should be present or a participant in the meeting. They need to know who are the people who can see their calendars and get those people to be on the scheduling call. And just a side note, if the admin is out on vacation, let's say, for the week, and you know you need to have this scheduling call that week, you can ask, well, do you have someone else who backs you up who can also see that person's calendar and have them join? I know I do that. I provide a backup so that I'm not holding up the process. The organizer needs to know what is the time sensitivity of this meeting. They need to know, is it urgent? Can it wait a few weeks, a month, next quarter? And also they need to know what the appropriate length of the meeting. Is this a 30-minute meeting, 45 minutes, hour, 2-hour meeting? That is important to know going into the scheduling call. The organizer also needs to know who are the most critical participants and who are the optional participants. And sometimes that can get a little awkward, you know, to say, well, your principal is not really required for this meeting. I understand that. I don't take offense to that, but others might. So, you know, just be careful and know in advance who is critical, who can they do the meeting without if necessary. Also, you want to make sure that everyone, when they jump on the call, everybody's on the call, I would reiterate, why are we here? I tell them, what is the purpose of the meeting? What time are we looking for? What time frame? And who is going to be on the meeting? Because many of our admin professionals support more than one principal. And so they might be, you know, asking, which calendar should I be focused on? And so we have to remind each other of that. So that's important. And also the organizer needs to be able to maintain control of the call, keep it focused, stick with the objectives. It's nice when everyone's jumping on to, of course, greet everyone, greet each other, and might have some small talk as we're waiting for others to get on the call. But we know everybody is busy. Everyone has other obligations that they need to get to. So we don't want to prolong the calls any more than they need to be. So once everyone arrives to the call, we know what the mandate is, and we get right to it. I talked about the etiquette of deferment. The call organizer might not be the person who actually drives the discussion on when the meeting can be or to propose dates. And so if I'm not representing the most senior participant, then I'll defer to them to actually drive and propose dates and times that will work for them first. And then we fall in line. And to wrap it up, the call organizer should, at the end, towards the end of the call, you have the dates and times. It is important, especially if it's more than one call, more than one date that you're holding. You might say, let's hold these two dates. Please hold them until I hear from the other person that we're still waiting on. Hold those times until I get back to you, and I'll be back to you in a day or two, depending on if it's a Friday, I'll get back to you on Monday, whatever the next business day is. And you just want to make sure everyone is on the same page at the end of the call. Everyone knows the expectation. Once the call is over, the organizer sometimes will send an email directly to everyone and say, thank you for being on the call. We are confirming this date and time for the meeting, or we're holding these two or three dates, and I'll be back to you soon. So it's kind of a wrap-up email so that everyone knows what just took place, because a lot of us are multitasking. I realize that, and so they might have missed a detail or two. So that's important to do that, and then you follow up and actually send out the calendar invitations. If you encounter a person who is totally uncooperative about making their principal available, it may be best to do a scheduling call without that person. They can cause the scheduling call to go out of control. Talk to them one-on-one to see how you can work it out, meaning you may want to ask them for suggestions on how to best schedule these meetings. Ask them to propose times that work for their principal first. Sometimes you may need to have a candid conversation with the colleague to find out what's the best way to work with them. If you keep running into roadblocks with them, at the end of the day, you each have to get these meetings scheduled. It's part of our work, and we want to always maintain a professional tone and not get frustrated, not express frustration, but we want to maintain a spirit of cooperation. Sometimes you can refer to previous emails that the principals have sent out requesting certain meetings. You can refer back to them to say, this person is requesting a meeting. Let's get together to schedule the meeting. Other times it may not be written. It may be something that was said in a meeting, in a previous meeting of the principals that they want a meeting. And when you get the request from your principal to schedule it, then you're going back to the other admin to say, we need to do this. Sometimes it's not as easy, but you want to go with information that your principal requested it, they suggested next week or the week after next. Even though they're on vacation, it was their suggestion that they would like to meet. Make sure to make that clear to the person so that they will be more cooperative. If those tactics do not work, then it may be time to involve your principal. First of all, you want to alert the principal that you are working on scheduling the meeting, but just having a little difficult time getting a date confirmed. And after several tries, you may want to have the principal to reach directly out to the other principal and copy the admins on it to explain what the mandate is, what it is that they need us to do. And once they get involved, it should be clear what everyone needs to do, what sacrifices or accommodations need to be made in order to schedule the meetings. Because they can also insert the urgency level, the level of priority that the meeting should take. And that we have to take note of that and let that be our guide for scheduling the meeting. As I mentioned before, throughout the process, you want to always maintain a professional tone. Now, these were tactics that you can use when you are experiencing a challenge with a scheduling call or scheduling meetings. But I'd like to also share a success story of using the scheduling calls as a tool to schedule complicated meetings involving a lot of different executive level senior leadership participants. My organization, my division, has a semi-annual meeting that involves my principal, who is the executive director, also includes some of the deans at Hopkins, president of the university, and other senior leadership for the university. And so what I found to work best is I have a scheduling call with the admins who represent the top three senior level people who are going to be in the meeting. I first go to them. And so that is the president, the dean of the School of Medicine, and also the provost. I get their admins all on a call, and we will go through the calendar and find three possible dates that could work. We hold those dates, and then I, as the organizer, go back to the larger group, and I will generally use the polling software to poll which date works best for the deans and others. And this works out well because at least those, the top three whose calendars are much more restrictive, much more, you know, they're just busy and travel and all of that, we have those dates held for at least a week until I can hear back from all of the others. And once I hear back from all the others, I know already who are the people who definitely need to be there and the people who it would be nice for them to be there, but we can still have the meeting without them. I know that saying that, I don't want to slight anyone, but that has worked great. I find the date and then I go back and tell everyone, here is the date of the meeting. And these meetings are scheduled 4 or 5 months in advance. But that seems to be this is what I've been doing for the last, I would say, 5 years, and has been very successful. So in the success story that I shared, I knew who needed to be present. I knew the time sensitivity of the meeting, the time frame in which it needed to be held, and how long the meeting needs to be. I know in advance who are the critical people who must be in attendance and who were optional. And I was able to maintain control of the call because I didn't have everybody on the call at the same time. By limiting the number of people on that call, that helped to maintain the control, because for that meeting, there are about 15 participants, 15 people who come, and to have a call with 15 people would be difficult and have its challenges. So that was sort of an example of how you do a two-tiered scheduling process. Have a scheduling call with a small subset using the polling software, and also emailing the information out at the end to wrap it up. Learning the Hopkins way of leading a scheduling call is important in our roles as executive assistants and admin professionals. Following these recommendations can help you to have successful scheduling calls, productive scheduling calls, and also help you to build relationships with the other admin professionals across the university.